Right on time. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Now, I have a request. I know I'm not as cute as Brother Mozart, but I don't think you need to stay so far away from me. Thank you so much. I want you to come a little closer, because tonight we're going to be very interactive, and you're going to help me preach, so I need you to come as close as possible. What's your name, brother? Brother Jonathan. Brother Jonathan and Brother Michael. Yeah, they're going to be our benchmark. They're going to be the ones with who, by whom we sit or by whom we are in front of. Sister Pearl, I love you, Sister Pearl. Thank you for coming close, Sister Pearl. Sister Pearl, thank you. Yes. Not a problem. We'll come. We'll go forward, but I was just invited. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Pearl. I appreciate you. We want to thank God for his blessings on us. We started yesterday, and this week the theme is the making of a godly man. What is the theme? Making of a godly man. And I know some of you were a little surprised yesterday when I said Samson was the best example, but we saw that the beginning of our strength is when we realize how weak we are and how much we need Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's why he will take us through the fire just in time. Tonight, we're going to direct your attention to God's word again and look at another man. And you're going to help me preach, so I hope you have your Bibles, whether on your phones or the actual Bible. I need you to take those in hand with me, and we're going to direct your attention to the book of Daniel. What book did I say? Daniel. And I want to read a few verses in your hearing, and then we're going to pray and talk together. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel the 6th chapter. What chapter are we reading from? Daniel chapter 6. I'm reading from the King James Version. And listen to what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. The Bible says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Loving Lord, bless us as we speak about Daniel's God. May it be that he will also be our God, is our prayer in Christ's precious name. Amen. Now, of all the men in the Bible, Daniel stands out as one of the most promising and prominent one. You will notice that nothing is ever presented that is a flaw in Daniel's character. From the inception of the book right until the end, Daniel is presented as one who is beloved. Daniel is presented as one who is righteous. Daniel is presented as one who is holy. Daniel is presented as one who possibly never did any wrong. Now, how many of you can identify with Daniel? That is, never done any wrong. Any witnesses? Exactly. But it's an interesting thing. Daniel is presented to teach us some valuable lessons. And that lesson especially comes out in Daniel chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, here's what we're going to do. I need a few readers. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start at verse 1. So let's start at verse 1. I need someone to read verse 1 and 2 for me. Just pop up and read. Go right ahead. You don't even need to stand. Just read. Anyone. Daniel chapter 6, 1 and 2. Three and four, another reader. Verse 4. I want to read verse 4 for us. Thank you so much. Somebody read verse 5 for us, and we're going to stop right there for now. Verse 5. Now, there's some people who believe that this story is fictional. It's not factual. They think that it is a tale that is told of, you know, something that happened in Daniel's life. Well, frankly, I'm not here to debate that. My position is simply this. If the Bible says it, that settles it for me. What about you? And Daniel, the Bible tells us, was in a position where the king, Darius, wanted to set someone over the province, the entire province. And he had all these satraps or princes, and he had three presidents, and he wanted Daniel to be above all of these. And the Bible says that the minute Daniel had the possibility of a promotion, they decided that they wanted to undermine him. They decided they wanted to get rid of him. I don't know if you've ever been in that position where as soon as God starts doing something marvelous for you, people who sometimes may have been for you suddenly don't like you. Well, clearly y'all, God bless your soul. Y'all have never had those challenges. It's the pearl, you know what I'm talking about, right? That's right. So Daniel, the minute promotion came his way, they decided they wanted to destroy him. They decided they wanted to undermine him. And it's interesting, the reason Daniel got this promotion, anybody knows why he was getting this promotion? What does the Bible says in verse 5? An excellent, well, what does that mean? Anyone knows what that means? Why was that excellent spirit in him? Why was he that person? Well, I'll tell you why he was that person. You see, the king realized that if he should have someone to protect his business, he needed someone who was actually already serving the King of Kings. Oh, friends, get this. If you want to serve well anywhere in this life, you need to first serve the King of Kings very well. Daniel did that, and the king saw that excellent spirit in him. That excellent spirit was not something that came about because of self. It came about because Daniel had been serving the King of Kings. And I'm proposing, if you serve God well, you can serve anywhere. In your home, at church, on the job, anywhere. If you serve God well, you will serve well elsewhere. And now the Bible says, of course, this promotion leads to jealousy. But one of the things that's interesting about jealousy that I've learned, and I don't know about you, but you see where jealousy is concerned? Jealousy does more harm to you who is jealous than to the person of whom you're jealous of. Do you know that? Heard a story about an eagle. I was in Portland, Oregon, some time back, and we were hiking, and I saw a bald eagle for the first time, so majestically soaring. It was beautiful. But it's interesting that the story is told of an eagle who hated another eagle. You see, this other eagle could fly higher and faster, and he wanted to kill that eagle. So he hired an archer and told the archer, I want you to shoot that eagle down. The archer tried everything, but that eagle was dodging all these, arches and or arrows. And he said, I need some good feathers to stabilize the arrows. So this eagle, who hired the archer, plucked out a few feathers and gave to the archer. But the archer kept missing. But he kept plucking feathers and the archer kept missing. By the time he looked, he had plucked all his good feathers and couldn't fly anymore. So the archer just turned the arrow on him and killed him. The point is, jealousy never hurts the person so much that you hate as it hurts you. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 12, that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright and there is no unrighteousness with him. Somebody say amen. When you serve God, yes, you'll experience jealousy, but get this. You don't need to worry because God is still in control. And so now the Bible tells us that this jealousy leads these men to concoct a plan. And you know the story. They decided that they were going to make a pit for Daniel. Now, I want to present something to you. There's a underlying theme in this story. For you to understand that underlying theme or that important theme, you have to understand that the book of Daniel has one solid theme. And the theme is simply this. God is in control in spite of present circumstances. Come on, I thought you'd say amen at least to that. Look at Daniel chapter 1, when they go down there and they try to feed them with the king's food and they said no. And the Bible says, Daniel said to them, give us fruits, grains, nuts, and water. And after 10 days, they were fatter and fairer. God, my friends, is in control in spite of present circumstances. Look at Daniel chapter 3, when the three little boys were charged to bow before this idol. They said, O king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. The God we serve is able, but if not, we still are not going to bow. And somebody says that the fire got fired because a fourth man stood in the fire with them. God is still in control in spite of present circumstances. And this chapter supports that theme, but it first starts by supporting that theme by presenting the idea that you can't keep a good man down, which is what they were saying they tried to do with Daniel, destroy him. But now the Bible says, having tried to take this good man down, notice that Daniel does something interesting. The Bible said that they said, a law needs to be made in which for 30 days, how many days? You pray to no other god but the king. In other words, they made a 30-day God and said, you can't pray to no other God but this 30-day God. And how did they do it? Let me show you how they did it. Well, they decided to put the law of God in conflict with the law of the land. Now, let me ask you something. If God's law is on head-on collision with the law of the land, which law do you think is going to win? God's law. They put God's law in conflict. And notice what verse 5 says about Daniel. They said, we will not find any occasion against this Daniel. Or is it verse 6 there about? Unless we find it, verse 6, against him, against the law of his God. In other words, get this. They knew very well that Daniel, the reason Daniel served King Darius so well is because he served God by keeping God's law. You're following me? And because he kept God's law, the only way you're going to get him to go contrary to the king's law is to bring the king's law in conflict with God's law. And then they said, we know Daniel. There's no way he's going to keep the king's law. Now, gentlemen, lady, boys and girls, can that be said of us? That if God's law is brought in conflict with other laws, that we are going to keep God's law as opposed to any other law? They said, we know Daniel. There's no way he's going to keep the king's law. If you put them in conflict, Daniel is going to keep God's law. And there's a reason for that. You see, the law that was put in place for a 30-day God was a law built on deceit. Their intent was to trap Daniel and to trap the king. And that law was built on deceit. But the Bible says in Psalm chapter 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. In other words, God's law will always prevail. And I would encourage us, let's stand by the law of Jesus Christ. What do you say? God's law was brought in conflict, but God's law will always prevail. So you can't keep a good man down who keeps the law. But notice, if you read the text, and this is what I found interesting. In the text, the Bible makes it clear that the God that Daniel served was not an impersonal God. Do you know many of you are here often at church and people come to church and they sing and talk about God, but we only know of him, but we don't know him? Let me show you something in the text. Look at this. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. In my version, which is the King James Version, look at this. The Bible says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Notice a personal pronoun there. His God. Then go to verse 10. Look at verse 10. Look at the last part of verse 10. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Then look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Then look at verse 16. The king said, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Daniel, thy God, whom thou serve, shall service continually, he will deliver thee. Then look at verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. That is the king unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able? Look at verse 22. Daniel says, my God. Then look at verse 23, the last part. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Then look at verse 26. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. There's no mistake, my friends, that in the text, every time Daniel's God is spoken of, he's referred to as Daniel's God. In the possessive tense, it's his God. Is God your God tonight? Because that's, at the end of the day, that's the ultimate thing. Can people say of you, of me, that they know who our God is? That's why I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide on the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress and my strength and my God. In him will I trust. Is God your God? So you can't keep a good man down who keeps the law of the living God, who is his God. See, Daniel's God, my friend, was not an impersonal God. Daniel's God was not a God of convenience. God was Daniel's God. But now, as beautiful as that point is, and as beautiful as the underlying theme of the book is, which is God is in control in spite of present circumstance, that is not the point of this book, of this chapter rather. Look at verse 9, 10, and 11. Somebody read it for us. Daniel chapter 6, 9, 10 and 11. Someone read for us, please.
Gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God.
So, here's my question to you, and I need some clarity on this. I need you to help me with this, all right? There's a problem with this text, and a serious one too. The Bible says that they make a law for you to serve a 30-day God. Clearly, Daniel realized it's better to serve the living God than a 30-day God. You know, those 30-day gods are gods that don't last forever, and they're like our houses, or cars, or money, or assets, or education. Beautiful and wonderful as these are, they will not last forever. So now, why, here's my question to you. Why does Daniel need to pray with his window open? Why can't you close your window? Notice that the law did not impose a sanction so much as it forbade a certain practice. The difference is easily seen. With the 3 Hebrew boys, they were forced to bow before everybody. The law simply said, don't pray to any other god. Why couldn't Daniel just lock his window and pray inside his house? Why do you need to open your window for people to see you? And besides, by this time in his life, Daniel is well almost into his 80s, theologians say. And at that age, why are you going to subject yourself to possible imprisonment and death? Because that's what the law says. Why not close your window? Let me see the hands of those who you know in your heart of hearts. You wouldn't close your window and say, you know what, God will understand. Hello? Come on, brethren. Yeah, come on. Because again, the law didn't say we're going to come in your house to watch to see if you're praying. No. The law simply said, don't pray to another God. Why not just pray in your heart? God will understand. Hello? Am I correct? And the truth is, many of us, we hear that law, we would quickly run to our houses, lock our windows, and pray there. God will understand. No? Yes? Hello? Right, Brother Mozart? Hello? You don't think so? But the law didn't say you needed to open your window and pray, or if you open your window and pray, you're... No. Listen again and I know the text. Go ahead, preacher. You can't close the window? I beg to disagree, because get this. Again, the law didn't say you had to open your window. It simply said, don't pray. And it didn't say, pray openly. Because the truth is, or rather, pray in your heart. You can pray in your heart and nobody would know. It seems to me, pardon me, that Daniel was a little legalist. What do you say, Sister Pearl? You don't agree with me? Ah. So you think it was his habit? Isn't that what the Bible says? Somebody read verse 10. Read verse 10. What does it say?
He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and was as was his custom since early days.
Ah. So in other words, Daniel wasn't doing something that he never did before. So he was only doing what he had always been doing. But now I still have a problem, because you're going to die. What do you say? Ah, that is true. You're right. The Bible does say that in 2 Kings chapter 8, thereabout, that if you're in captivity and you pray toward this temple, I will hear. But hear me now, hear me now, hear me now. The fact of the matter is, they're going to kill you. And don't you think you can accomplish more good alive than dead?
And?
But can't you obey God and pray in your heart, Sister Pearl?
But that he was doing what he was used to doing. Why should he change his habits? Because man says he should.
What do you say?
I'm good. I'm with Sister Pearl. Because if you've been doing something for a while, that's your custom. That's how you've been doing it. And now that a law has passed and you decide now that the law has passed, let me do it in secret, then that becomes, now that's you fearing man and not fearing God.
Not fearing
that's
God.
That's you taking it to a whole nother level. Now you're trying to protect yourself. You're no longer now following God.
My brother here, then I come back to the Pearl and Pastor. Go ahead. What do you say?
If we choose to compromise, then we are not trusting God.
If we choose to compromise, interesting. Preacher, what do you say? Oh, Sister Pearl, and then preacher.
He trusted in his God, just as the other three Hebrew boys did. And when they were casting, they preferred to obey God and die. He said, it doesn't matter to us. We know God can deliver us, but if he chooses not, we are not going to go down.
Interesting. Preacher, what do you say?
Something much higher than just Daniel is at stake here. Actually, the window was already open. He should have closed it, and that would change the situation. So that would have him shy away from the challenge. And the passage says that Daniel had a surpassing spirit, actually. Mm-hmm. The excellent spirit is a surpassing spirit. It is a reality that is hard to be grasped if you are not there.
Right.
But this is a situation that is comparable with the evil that cannot stop doing the evil thing. The good cannot stop doing the good thing that he's used to do.
Interesting. Well, you all are correct. But let me take it on. Let me take it on. And I want you to get this. If you get nothing else, get this. What the text is teaching us is a very, very profound truth, which says this. In times of trial, You will be what you have been in times of peace. Let me say that again. In times of difficulties, you will be what you have been. Let me try that again. You will be what you have always been. Are you getting it? So if when you have relative peace, you are someone who prays to God three times a day with your window open. When trouble comes, do you think you're going to shut your windows? No, because you will be what you have been. So it means if in times of peace, you have not been devoted to prayer, what do you think is going to happen when trouble comes? You're going to cave. Men, if in times of peace in your marriage, you're not committed to it, what's going to happen when trouble comes? If in times of peace you're not committed to God's work and His church, what do you think is going to happen when trouble comes? Oh, friends, we have relative peace right now. I would suggest that we be committed to God. Because Daniel wasn't doing anything different. He kept doing what he's always been doing. And the only reason he could do it in times of trouble is because he had been used to and accustomed to doing it all along. Listen, don't think that when time of trouble come or when persecution come, suddenly you're going to be transformed. I got news for you. What you have been is what you will be. Don't think when difficulties come, if you're always caving after it, that suddenly one day, no, what you have been is what you're going to be. And that is a fact of life and of the Bible. The only reason Daniel, my friends, could open his window and pray is because he had always been and continued to be. You know how the story ends very beautifully. I promise you that anyone who seeks to undermine God's people will find out that they're only undermining their situation. Because the Bible tells us, and I don't know if I would want to live in times like those, because not only did those men die, their children, and this is what's interesting. You know, God is such an amazing God. Daniel is lowered into that den, and suddenly the lions lose their appetite when they realize that this man serves the lion of the tribe of Judah. But as soon as these people who concocted this problem for him were let down there, the Bible says the lion didn't even wait until they touched the ground before they devoured upon them. Oh, friends, I promise you, if you are consistently serving God now by His grace and through His strength, in times of trouble, you will be what you've always been in times of peace. And you don't need to fake it. You don't need to worry. Because if you have been consistently committed to your God by His grace, you will continue to do so, especially when difficulties come your way. Martin Luther is one of my favorite characters of all time. And you know, when he was brought before the Diet of Worms, and that's a funny thing, because it's not like your Diet of Worms. Who did the health nugget earlier? Diet of Worms. Why do they call it Diet of Worms? Diet of Worms is actually a council, so it's not that he was eating worms, you know? The Diet of Worms. The history tells us that he said to them, and I want to read this for you. I want to read this for you. It's a beautiful little thing that he said. After they asked him to recant his faith, where they claim that, you know, you can basically buy grace or buy God's favor. He said, no, he said, here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. I cannot and will not relent anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. And the only reason he could do that is because he had remained true to his God all along. You will be what you've always been. God's word to us tonight. What are you? What am I? And when trouble comes, what will I be? Where do I stand? Let's pray for the men of our church, because the devil understands clearly that if he can undermine our positions as priests in the home, protectors and providers, in the future when things get most difficult, that will be easily undermined. Let's pray for the members of our church, that all of us will reach a point where we understand and realize that God wants us to be, and Ellen White says this actually, commenting on this story, that God wants us to be faithful now so that when persecution and difficulties and trials comes, we will stand like a brave, come what may. Let's pray. Stand with me. Father, we marvel at the stories of the Bible. You've given them to us to teach valuable spiritual truths. And tonight we want to thank you for Daniel. He is a representation of a character who stood for you consistently and at all times. Our desire is to do the same. And especially do we ask that this be true of the men of this church, that we will be priests in our homes, that we will be protectors, protecting our wives and children and families from the wiles of the enemy and from all other issues, and providers, not only monetary and materially, but in all other aspects, may we be true men who provide that which our families need. And then we pray that all of us will build consistent characters where we remain true to you now and at all times, so that when difficulties and times of troubles and persecution come, as they will, it did for Daniel, and it will happen for us, that we will remember with all our hearts that you, O God, are faithful. And as long as we stand true to you, you will see us through. Bless this church. Bless Pastor Solajan and his team. And I pray that this week will start a transformation in all our hearts and lives. This is our prayer. In the holy and precious name of Jesus, let everybody say, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Amen. And we will bid everyone a good night. That was our closing prayer. So thank you all for coming. We look forward to seeing everyone tomorrow evening, same time, same place. Amen. Yes, tell somebody.